Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are talking your thoughts all show long on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, obviously this has been a tough week for Titans fans, tough week for this city after a disappointing loss against the Bengals. And we've talked about Ryan Tannehill a lot this week. We're going to continue to do so as today goes on, as I'm sure the next few weeks and months go on, about what that means for the Titans and their future. Lots of interesting decisions coming up for John Robinson and the front office. And it gets you thinking about the window to win that this team is in, maybe coming out of, depending on who you ask. Now, look, the Titans have had a pretty impressive run the last 3 years. You get to the AFC title game, you follow that up last season with your first division title since 2008. And then this year you win the division again, back-to-back division titles for the first time since the early 1960s, and you're the number one seed in the AFC. So all in all, it's been a very successful last three seasons for the Titans in terms of their overall picture and the way that they played. It does feel different after this loss to me. Like, it feels like this was such a big missed opportunity that this team has. You got Derrick Henry coming off of a broken foot. You got Julio Jones not working out the way you thought it would. And obviously the performance by Tannehill. Is the Titans' window to win based on not only the way that they played, the way that they're trending, but also other teams and specifically other quarterbacks in the AFC? Does it feel like in your mind that the Titans' window to win a Super Bowl may have closed with this loss to Cincinnati?
Well, it feels like it may have. Would not even begin to say I know what's going to happen in the future. A year ago, you tell me that the Titans defense turns around to this level, and I would have laughed.
You did laugh at Heidi.
Well, that's right. I did laugh at Heidi, and now she's laughing at me. Tell me after the season opener that this team was going to get the one seed. Ooh, really? Or tell me, you know, after the wins over the Bills and Chiefs that they would lose to the Texans. I mean, it's so you know, this season is a great example of, you know, how hard things are to predict in this league. And really the last few years, I think, of the Titans are a great example of, again, the defense last year to this year. How did that happen? The offense in 2019, arguably worst in the league to one of the best in the league within the same year. How did that happen? Anything's possible. And certainly I think the Titans are going to be a good football team next year. I think they're going to be a playoff team. Right now, I would pick them to win the AFC South next year. I think their defense is going to be really good. And look, I mean, I think Tannehill is going to be the quarterback, and the enthusiasm for that has completely flipped. The enthusiasm for Tannehill, and I think deservedly so, has gone 180. He's also probably going to be good enough to win you a lot of football games. And Derrick Henry's back, all that stuff. But this felt like an incredible opportunity. I think that's why it's more than just like you lost a tough game, you know, anything you want to look at. I mean, the big thing to me was not just that you blew it against the Bengals, and that's a team you should have beaten. You should be hosting a game this week. No, this is a really rare opportunity to actually go win the thing, get to the Super Bowl, have a chance to win it with this team. This team is going to be hard to replicate in some ways. And, you know, we've talked about some of that. You're going to lose some key people from this team. And, you know, it's just, I mean, look, when you only have to win two games at home, that's just a different deal than, like, when they made the surprise run and finally it's like, okay, and you play 25 good minutes against Kansas City, but that's just asking too much from that team to win a third game on the road, you know. And that's where you look at the quarterbacks in this league, the other teams, look at the Bills and Chiefs and the Bengals, and when they get better, there's three that you look at as teams that have a better track right now than you are, and it comes down to that position.
And that's why, to me, it kind of feels like the window's closed. I mean, I agree with you. Like, I still think the Titans are going to win the AFC South next year. Like, you know, barring Indianapolis going out and getting, you know, Aaron Rodgers or somebody. Like, I feel pretty good about the Titans winning the AFC South next year. I feel pretty good about them winning a lot of football games next year based on their division, based on – I still think they're a really good team. But can you win the whole thing? Like, that's – I mean, that's where this team has gotten. That's the goal with John Robinson and this team. And, you know, I think there's this thought out there now that from some Titans fans that, oh, it's impossible. Like, they can't win. They can't win the whole thing. And I don't necessarily subscribe to that. Like, I just think it takes a lot of things going right with the level of quarterback play that you have right now. And obviously, like, you know, if Tannehill plays like he did on Saturday, you have no chance. I mean, I don't think anybody would dispute that. But even if Tannehill is playing really well, I still think it takes a lot of things to go right for this team to win the Super Bowl. So, you know, there's going to be so much less, I guess, expectation with this team heading into next season. If Ryan Tannehill is still the quarterback, there's going to be way less, I think, excitement to begin the season. Now, this is very similar to how I felt when Josh Heupel was hired by Tennessee as well. Of, you know, you had Tennessee fans looking around at each other saying, huh, really? That's the guy you hired? And what do we say? All right, yeah, come August, early September, there's going to be the, all righty, here we go, Heupel's there. Like, Titans fans are in a bad spot right now. They're going to feel better when training camp comes around, and there will be some hype around this team. I don't think there's any question about it, but it will be different with Tannehill at quarterback. I just look, to me, the window conversation really involves other teams more than it does just specifically this Titans team. Like, I think Josh Allen is getting better. I think Joe Burrow, good Lord, look how good he is already. If you can get him an offensive line that doesn't get him killed every game, how much better is he going to be? Like, to me, the window to win sometimes is also about timing, about what other teams are equipped with as well. And yeah, it kind of feels like, to me, from that standpoint, you've missed an opportunity there, because I think Josh Allen is just going to get better. I think Joe Burrow is just going to get better. I think Justin Herbert's just going to get better. And by the way, there's Patrick Mahomes still hanging out over there too. Like, it just feels like, to me, from a timing standpoint, you may have really missed your opportunity here if you're the Titans.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Now, you get better on defense. Like, you get better in the – you have a, you know, like a Caleb Farley, his Christian Fulton of this year, and everything else is great and even better. You manage to shore up the offensive line, add a vertical weapon at receiver, add a legit, you know, all-around young, promising tight end. And Tannehill just comes back, and he's listened to Eye of the Tiger the entire offseason, and he's heard every last thing that people have said about him, and he just comes, you know, and hey, like, maybe they will prove everyone wrong, you know? Crazier things have happened in sports. But it's just, I agree, it feels like this was the opportunity. You cannot squander this. This week we should be talking Titans Chiefs. And to me, a chance, again, that would be a game if it was game week. Let's say that Tannehill had done everything he had done except throw the last pick, and instead he throws it to Firkser, little drag route, and then he turns it upfield, one more completion, Big Bone Randy, you know, beats his former team. We'd be talking about, okay, so Tannehill has to play way better than that, you know, to win. But he did throw the touchdown past A.J. Brown. He kind of responded to those early picks, right? He got the winning drive done. I mean, it's really like, even through all the badness of what he did, the last one is the killer, because you still had a chance to pull it out and just, you know, it'd be this week. Like, okay, can Tannehill rise up? And look, I think there'd be a lot of doubts about that, but what happened, it feels like they slammed the window shut. I mean, the interesting thing about Tannehill going to next year, like Marcus Mariota going into 2019, there was still, I think, a fair amount of – now, there were a lot of people like you who were like, it's got – like, it needs to change. But there was still a fair amount of, okay, get over the neck injury. It's the second year, you know, of this offense, and you saw some good signs. There was still hope. Because one thing is, because, you know, Mariota had had two playoff games for that. He actually played great in the second half at Kansas City. I mean, I forget the self pass. He played really well. He made big throws. He made the throw to Eric Decker to win the game. And then, you know, he lost a game at New England, but they were overwhelmed. So he didn't have, like, some Mariota, you know, Mariota just totally like choking in the playoff situation at that point. Tannehill has been a much better quarterback than him, but the last two playoff games are that's what it's about. And those are the things that stick to you. And it just, again, it just looked like the moment was too big for him. And that, I think, is why the feeling of the window being closed is there until you have a different quarterback. And then by then, whenever that would be, what does the rest of the team look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Has their window to win a Super Bowl closed? Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, we got a lot of people on the text line just getting all over Nick Westbrook-Ikhina for not coming back to the ball or not catching the ball on that final interception. Like, I don't know how you can watch that play and put the blame on anyone but the quarterback. There's a guy draped all over Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. Burks was running wide open in the middle of the field, and your quarterback decides to try to force the ball, and it gets broken up, tipped in the air. Like, I don't know what you're watching.
I don't either. I mean, look, I guess you could say, you know, you could – I mean, I'm watching it right now. Westbrook-Ikhina is trying to come back to the ball. He's not drifting. I guess you could – like the first one, that might be a little bit more of a criticism for Julio Jones, but this one, he's coming back. And he can't catch it because Eli Apple has his hand in there and pops it out before it can get to his hands.
That's like everybody keeps calling this a drop by Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. I'm like, no. What are you smoking? Like, no. Can you not see this play?
Eli, and there is an angle on the play where his hand is underneath and pops it before it can get to Westbrook again, who is trying to come back to the ball. It's on Tannehill.
It's a horrible pass.
Stop it. Yeah. I mean, it's – come on.
I'm just.
We should all be able to agree on that one. That one should be a layup for everyone.
My mind is blown by this. Like it's unbelievable that here we are on Wednesday after this game and people are still talking about that. Like it was a horrible decision by Ryan Tannehill. It is what it is. Not to mention, and we've talked about this. Ferks are running wide open in the middle of the field, and you just don't see it. That's the thing. Like. The playoff game last year, the A.J. Brown play where he's wide open and Tannehill just misses him. Ferkser wide open on this play, and he just misses him. Like, I guess I'm struggling to figure out why he's either not seeing these guys or is he just staring down and predetermining where he's going with the ball so often that he's not going through his reads. Like, I don't get what's going on with him from that perspective.
I mean, look, and that's the thing. From the time he took over for Mariota, which for the most part was pretty much instantly better. It was some little bit of ups and downs early there, right? The win over the Chiefs, in which he basically outdueled Mahomes, was the moment where you're like, geez, this is a different thing. I never thought he was a guy who stared down receivers. I mean, look at the numbers. 55 and 13 should tell you. 55 touchdowns, 13 picks in 2 years. Again, not two full years either. Should tell you. I mean, yeah, he threw the occasional pick, but he was not that guy. He went through his reads. I mean, I think some of it you have to look at just the pressure of the game, the pressure of the moment. Some of it maybe, you know, losing faith and protection. But, again, that's a huge thing with Mariota to me that changed. Probably with all the injuries, probably being a factor, was that I thought Mariota got less and less comfortable in the pocket as his career went on, to the point where he was seeing ghosts. And I don't know that it's quite that same thing with Tannehill, but I don't know. From that playoff game last year, which I look at differently now too based on this one, to now, he has just become a quarterback who more telegraphed his passes than he had in the previous two seasons.
Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Caleb from Gallatin texting in says, Tannehill will bait us all in next season and play really well and then choke in the playoffs. In the playoffs, Tannehill can't afford to make a mistake. It's got to be almost perfect football to win or Derrick Henry game takeover. This coming from Caleb and Gallatin. And that's the other thing, like discussing the window to win. I think everybody's just assuming, and we're going to get into this a little bit more as the show goes on here today, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. But I think everybody's just assuming that Derrick Henry is going to just pick up where he left off and be this dominant back again. And look, maybe he will. I have confidence in Derrick Henry. I think if you give Derrick Henry a full offseason, he's going to look good. He's going to be fine. But he is, you know, 28. He's had a lot of carries. Like, there is a possibility. And we talked about this when it happens. And I really hope not, because I love watching Derrick Henry play. But, you know, at that position, things could change in a hurry. We talked about that a lot. And Derrick Henry has been one of the most dominant players in the league the last 2-3 seasons. I'm hoping he's back to that level, but I guess there's really no guarantee that he's going to be back to that level next year. I have confidence that he will be. I have faith in him that he will be, but that's not a slam dunk to me anymore that Derrick Henry is just going to return to being a 2,000-yard rusher next year.
No, I agree. I mean, but it's a, yeah, it's a huge part of what they can be. And the window, it's a part of the window. The window, as this team is constructed, I mean, it's smashing your fingers if he's going to take a big step back, you know? Like, watch out. Get your hands out of the way. It's slamming shut. So, yeah, you shouldn't assume, but you got to hope if you're the Titans that he comes back and he's that dominant force. I think this is still this is another example of why they've tried to compliment him. I mean, again, there were plans for Darrington Evans. They have – I mean – there were times this year I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about Darrington Evans. You know, I mean, that's just, he's just been a non-factor for 2 years and hurt most of those 2 years. And I think he'll get another crack at it. But that's still, they've got to find another guy to me to share the workload a little bit more with Derrick Henry. There's no one can ever prove, you know, that the workload led to the injury. But how could you just dismiss it? How could dismiss that this much work, even for a freak like Derrick Henry, didn't ultimately have a negative effect on the foot?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's certainly – I don't know how you could dismiss it, that's for sure. Now, if you ask, like, Titans Twitter, it's the field turf at Indy. That's what it was. Hurt Derrick Henry, hurt Jameson Williams in the championship game.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of places that have that turf in this league. Yeah,
there are. Liam on the text line says, how often does someone who comes up so small in such big games completely turn it around with another opportunity? Maybe our path is going all in on defense and going super conservative on offense. If we're stuck with Tannehill, just hand off and throw less than 15 times a game and hope we hold teams to 13 points. This coming from Liam on the text line says, you know what? Just go all in with defense, make Tannehill make the plays in front of him, and try to run the ball offensively, score just enough.
Yeah, the Broncos won it with Peyton Manning often not having to do a lot. Now, Peyton Manning still had big games that year. You know,
sure.
He had to make big throws. You always have to make big throws. I mean, the one thing I will say is remember we were just talking about Mariota, you know, about how the one thing about Mariota, even going into his last year and in the midst of his last year, was he hadn't had that come up small in the postseason moment, really. And again, I don't count the Patriots loss. The Patriots were way better than the Titans. I mean, Tannehill does have 2 wins at least. So if you want to be super sunshiny hopeful, you can point to, and I know the immediate answer is, yeah, he threw for 80 yards or whatever. But, you know, he made important throws. That was part of, to me, going into this game, why I still thought there was a good chance he would rise up, because we've only seen 1 game where he really shrunk, and that was last year. I don't really even look at the Kansas City loss like it was, like it was some terrible performance by Tannehill. They ultimately didn't get it done with their offense. There were some third down throws and some key possessions where, you know, they didn't convert. But and the Chiefs did a great job on Derrick Henry in that game. By the way, that's 3 straight games in the playoffs for Derrick Henry
that
he's been you know, that the other team has done a great job against him. And I think you put a little bit of an asterisk next to this one because, you know, of the situation. But it is three straight games that teams have figured out. Kansas City, Ravens, Bengals have figured out a way to stop him and keep him from dominating a game.
Well, we talked about this on Monday. Taylor Lewan basically talked about them playing goal line in the middle of the field. Like, that's – you have to be able to make teams pay for that if they're going to do that. And I don't know. Like, one thing that we've not talked about much this week that is still just kind of mystifying to me, I still feel like whether it's a Tannehill decision or it's a Todd Downing decision or whatever it is, like, I don't think they throw the ball to A.J. Brown enough, whether that's getting the ball to him quickly or just looking over and saying, you know what? He is singled up. I'm going there with it. I'm throwing him the ball, and I'm letting him take a chance and come down and get it. I mean, you know, obviously the touchdown pass in that game, you're throwing in double coverage. It's a great throw, great catch, but he comes down with the ball. Like, I still feel like they don't throw him the ball enough. And look, I realize this is a way different example, what I'm about to say. But I can pretty much guarantee you, go through the film. If Davante Adams is lined up one-on-one, I can tell you where Aaron Rodgers is going with the ball. Like, it's every time. I'm not saying A.J. Brown's Davante Adams, but when he's one-on-one, and Harry Douglas has pointed this out all week on Twitter, there have been so many people pointing this out all week on Twitter of how many times they left A.J. Brown one-on-one. Like, take your chances with A.J. Brown. More often than not, he is going to win, and I don't feel like the Titans do that enough.
No, it's a good point. Absolutely. I agree, and I think moving forward, that's something to keep in mind for sure. Get him the ball quickly. They've had games where it was like him and he was their whole offense, and they figured out a way, like, just give him the ball. The Bills game last year comes to mind. By the way, on that game, I just looked at the box score. You know, Tannehill is 21 of 31, 209 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. You know, at Kansas City, they lost. They didn't do enough. But that was, again, that's why going into this game overall, to me, it had been 3 good and 1 bad for Tannehill in the playoffs. And a 2-2 record. But now it's like, okay, there's 2 straight where it was bad. And I even think this game made last year's game, to me, look worse. And even this whole past season look harder to excuse than it was before he did this in this game. That's me. Maybe, I mean, I think we all have a total range of, assessments of Tannehill, but it changed for me for sure.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Do you believe their window to win is closed? We'll take more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Got the choice is yours coming up next. And right now, Joe Rexroad is as happy as I've seen him in a long time with this jam coming back in.
Well, I think Michelle has found a new musical artist to really enjoy. She's jamming out.
Little Pebbles?
Yeah. Junie, what do you think? Junie, do you know Pebbles? Big thumbs up from Junie.
No, no, he doesn't know Pebbles. Oh, okay. I already asked. Yeah. He likes the song, though.
But yeah, I mean, how do you not like that song? Come on. I mean, it even gets better when you get to the chorus, but we don't have time for that.
What did they determine yesterday that 1990, last year they come out with a song? It's impressive.
She, yes. Pebbles. I don't think it's a band. Oh. It's actually her name, right?
Well, she's not playing every instrument, for God's sake.
Well, but yeah, but don't you say...
But it is not the Pebbles from the Flintstones, to be clear.
It is not. It is not.
By the way, I asked Caroline yesterday about Sierra, and she was like, So is this
okay,
is
okay, but it missed your kids' generation. Yeah. I feel like
so the peak of Sierra was more like
2000s. Yeah, right. A little later 2000s, Rob.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Robbie
yeah.
and I's prime in middle school.
I just missed that. That's a toughie. Yeah, I'm trying to think. At that time, it was like the prime of like the White Stripes. I mean, there were bands that were making music at the time that I liked. So just for the record,
Joe, you weren't breakdancing to Sierra.
Radiohead
was probably college time for you.
In 2005? Are you kidding me? I mean, I appreciate you thinking that, but no. Good God.
When were you in college? 93? 94?
Yeah, the 90s. 90-something.
Just beautiful. That was my favorite thing Michelle's ever said.
Thank you, Michelle. Actually, you make me feel better. Thanks.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
I mean, right. You know, we only had one child at that point.
Yeah. Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Mark from Clarksville texting in says, if the Titans don't win a ring, did we waste Henry's career like the Lions did for Barry Sanders and AP for the Vikings? This coming from Mark from Clarksville. What do you? That's always an interesting conversation because like I think most people still acknowledge Barry Sanders, maybe the greatest running back of all time, certainly in the handful of greatest running backs of all time, and he certainly does not have a Super Bowl ring. I think people feel pretty good about Vikings legend, but also, as we remember, Titans legend, Adrian Peterson, and his legacy being secure. Like, you don't necessarily have to have a Super Bowl ring to be a great player, but I don't know. What do you think about that? Did the Titans waste Derrick Henry's career if he ends up not winning a ring?
I mean, some will say that. And, hey, it's about trying to get a ring. It's about trying to certainly get to the Super Bowl. But it's about trying to get away. I mean, was McNair and Eddie George, are those careers wasted? Was Dan Marino's career wasted? Was Charles Barkley's career wasted? I mean, all those, you know, people desperately wanted to win a ring, you know? So it's hard to do. And so there's great players in every professional sport who don't have that. So, I mean, to me, I enjoyed the heck out of watching Charles Barkley play, and he was a great, great player, and he got awfully close. But you know, now he gets to take crap about it still, which is still, I guess that's kind of fun, you know, if you look at it that way. But, yeah, I mean, the Lions and Barry Sanders, you know, the sad thing there, of course, is, I mean, that is the one playoff win they've had in the last 70 years was with him. So, but you know, they didn't really, one time they got to the NFC championship game.
Maybe Hall of Fame worthy by itself.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, that's just a bad franchise though, you know, so you expect them to waste a career. I mean, with Derrick Henry, yeah, look, he's largely responsible for this window. I mean, even the way that they're built and everything is kind of based on what he did in the last few games of the 2018 season. So we may look back on that. I mean, right now, I don't like their chances to get to the Super Bowl in the next couple of years because of the way the AFC looks. But it's not the craziest. It's also like it's not impossible. It's just there's some things that would have to happen that we can't – it would have a hard time predicting right now.
Let's go back to the text line. Got a texter that says, regardless of what Henry does, Foreman needs to be back. He has earned it. Problem with that is, like, he may have earned it too much. Like, he may end up going somewhere and making – you know, he's not going to make Derrick Henry money, obviously. But
oh, no.
He could get, you know, a decent deal and maybe get some significant carries next year for someone. Now, look, to me, if you're the Titans – and you can find a way to get him back, may not be a bad idea. But I just wonder, like, is there a team out there that's willing to give Deontay Foreman some decent money based on the tape that he put out there with the Titans?
Yeah. I have a feeling he's going to be somewhere else. I don't know what the number will be, but I think he's going to make a few million dollars from a team. And especially, I know you can easily roll your eyes at this, but when you commit a third-round pick to a guy, he's still going to get another chance, I believe, to be the second back. And also, I'll say this: they may have found the third guy in Hilliard, you know, potentially. So, like Henry, Hilliard, Evans, may be more likely, just because Deontay Foreman, I think, may have priced himself out of here. I mean, you have to make tough choices all over the place. It'd be great to have Foreman back, but you are still talking about kind of like a mini Derrick Henry. And I would guess right now that he's somewhere else and not here next year.
I mean, the Darrington Evans conversation, like what's the leeway on him at this point? He gets hurt one time, he's done. There's not much patience from my side of things if I'm the Titans on Darrington Evans.
No, yeah, I think that's probably it. Yeah, it's just, but even in, it doesn't matter, it doesn't count at all for anything, but even when, like, when he's been on the practice field, like, you can see the burst and the, like, the speed at that position that they would love to have, and just a different kind of back, to at least be a, you know, potentially really exciting third down back. But, yeah, I think that's it. I think next injury, it's like, what can you do? You know, it's, some guys just can't stay healthy. That's how most careers end in this league, and most of them end quickly.
Dennis on the text line says, how many times in the past few games did Tannehill miss AJ or Julio running deep down the field with overthrows? This is coming from Dennis on the text line. I mean, certainly a few times. I mean, AJ was open early in that game against Cincinnati, and you miss him going down the field. You brought up the Julio play in Houston where he got open deep down the field, and he missed him. I mean, look, you're not going to hit every deep pass. So, you know, look, Aaron Rodgers misses guys wide open down the field. Tom Brady misses guys down the field at times. But you have to hit some of them, and you have to put yourself – you got to put the ball in a place where you feel good about your receiver having a chance. And especially with guys like that, like with Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, just give them a chance and take your chances with them. And a lot of times they'll be the one coming down with the ball. But, yeah, to Dennis's point, missed on those far too often coming down the stretch.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know that Tannehill – I mean, he hasn't had a ton of – like, they don't throw deep a ton, you know?
No.
But I also feel like that's another thing where he was better at that than in the first 2 years than this year. I feel like in just about everything, he was better than he was this year, you know? So, but yeah, those are costly loss or costly misses for sure. And, you know, you said earlier, or maybe someone on the text line, you know, next year, you know, all change your minds and all that. Like, Tannehill could play great. I think even if that happens, it's going to be okay. Well, we'll see when the playoff game comes. I mean, he had a couple good games this year, and at one point he was kind of asked about getting his confidence back. He's like, well, contrary to popular belief, you know, I never lost it. And he's like, yeah, well, whether it was confidence or whatever it was, like, your performance was not good. And again, we talk so much about going to this game 10 straight quarters of pretty good football. And look, man, all it takes is a couple just really bad decisions or just kind of like loss of awareness where you're locking in on something and making it easy for the defense. That's all it takes. That's why quarterbacks get 30 plus million because it's hard, but, that just changed everything.
We'll have Jared Stillman joining the show to begin the 8 o'clock hour, get his thoughts on Tannehill and the quarterback situation of the Titans as they move forward here. Up next, we've got The Choice Is Yours. Robbie Stanley, myself, in the questions chair this week. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week. Time for The Choice Is Yours. Here on Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by Smokeville Smoke Shop. I am in the questions chair this week. As always, we encourage your participation on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, where would you like to begin, sports or non-sports?
Non-sports?
Sure.
Well, non-sports. All right. You can live as an animal for one day. Which animal do you choose? It could be of the sea. It could be of the air. It could be of the land. Which animal do you choose to live as for one day?
I got it. I already told Joe. I just waved to Joe across. I'm like, I got it. Let me go first. I'm going to be a golden retriever puppy. Can you say that is not the best life ever? You're walking on the street. Everybody's petting you. Everybody's loving you. Everybody's snuggling. You're eating. You get anything you want. What a perfect day.
So not only did Michelle know the animal that she was going to be very quickly, she knew the type of animal, the specific
the
dog
breed of dog
she was going to be.
You cannot say they are the cutest puppies ever. A little air bud. I'm going to be a little air bud, and I'm going to play sports, too.
You still might eat your own poop, though.
That's true. You're not going to get me
I mean, like, it's possible. The golden retrievers are very cute, but they still may eat their own poop. I'm just saying.
I'm not Gus or Quinn.
Hey, I never said they eat their own poop. I don't know.
I don't know where you got that from.
Dogs occasionally do that. But that's nice. A golden retriever raised. I'm going to go with an eagle.
Okay.
I mean, I want it's got to be some kind of animal that can fly, right? And to me,
well, that's an option.
I mean, that to me is the appeal, is that you've got you can do something that you can't do as a human, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and like swimming underwater doesn't have a lot of appeal to me. So yeah, I'm going to go with, or maybe a hawk, something like that. I can fly around and also maybe kill something with no repercussions.
Joe's going to be circling me as the golden retriever puppy. Yeah.
Just Joe Rex Road on the prowl for death as he turns into an animal. So yeah, swimming underwater is appealing to me. I'm going to be a shark. Be a great white shark for one day. I will explore the depths of the ocean. I can hunt as a great white shark. I'm not going to attack any humans, but I would try to scare them just based on the personality that I have. I will be a great white shark. I will be Bruce from Finding Nemo.
I think all three of these represent our personalities very, very well.
So you're telling that Robbie and I are both like psychopathic murderers?
Robbie said he was a nice shark, first off. And yeah, Joe, you're the eagle who just looks over Robbie and I and just holds the fort down, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think I'm a psycho. That's cool.
Our guardian bird, Joe Rexroad. You're on the program. Yeah. All right, back to sports. Who gets two more Super Bowls in the next 10 years? So you don't have to win. Who appears in more Super Bowls in the next 10 years? Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. Who appears in more Super Bowls in the next 10 years?
That's a really good question. And I mean, I think you could make a case for all of them. I mean, they're all still very young, so they're all going to be in the league. I mean, to me, that question's almost like organizational a little bit. I mean, I have to project the Bengals to figure out protecting Joe Burrow, get better on defense. They've got some great players on obviously rookie deals. The Chiefs are in the three, like they're going to have the harder time keeping it together. But it's Mahomes, and oh man, you know what? Because I just feel like after the last game, the Bills just really may be cursed. I'll go with Mahomes. I'll go with Mahomes because we're counting this year counts, right?
That's correct.
So I can count one this year. So I'll go with Mahomes. Wow. But it's close. I mean, Mahomes, they're gonna. You think the Bengals have a chance Sunday?
We didn't think they had a chance over the Titans last week.
I thought they had a better chance than they do this week, but we'll see.
That's true.
Yeah.
See, I'm going to actually go with the Bengals. Wait, we're not counting prior Super Bowls, though, right?
No. Next 10 years.
Okay, next 10 years. I'm going to go with Joe Burrow. I mean, if you think about it, the run he's made just this year with really a very depleted O-line, he looks really good, guys. Like,
he's insane.
Oh, I agree.
He's insane. I mean, in his rookie season, how many games did he even actually play? He didn't even play a full season.
No.
And then he got hurt, so he's coming off an injury. I really like him, and then you got Ja'Marr Chase, you got T. Higgins, a young team. Fix that O-line, and I think Cincinnati could be on the up climb. So give me Joe Burrow for it.
Yeah,
and I'm obviously not picking Buffalo.
I think this is a really interesting question because I think all three of these guys are going to have their teams in the conversation for the next 10 years. When your quarterback play is that good, you're always going to have a chance. I will give the slight edge to Mahomes because I still think over the next couple of years, they got a chance to be there. And, you know, at some point, the Chiefs will reload with him at quarterback and they'll be back in there. So I'll give the slight edge to Mahomes. But I think Allen's going to get there a couple times. I think Burrow will get there a couple times. Like, it would not surprise me if we're talking about a whole lot of Kansas City, Cincinnati, and Buffalo over the next 10 years, just based on quarterback play alone. So, I don't know. That one's going to be really interesting to monitor.
You should have just gone with Josh Allen just so we could all have three different answers.
Well, I know. Well, I think sometimes we forget that Mahomes is, what is he, 25, 26? Like, he's not that old.
That's not fair. Yeah.
It's not. All right, back to non-sports. Which actors or actresses would you choose to play in a movie about each person here on the show? So, Michelle, you can pick actors to play Joe Rexroad and myself. And Joe, you and I have to pick actors to play each other and actresses to play Michelle. Who
this
wants
is an
to
amazing
begin?
Question. Give me Thank a second you. To think. Robbie, you might have to start this one. I think I need a minute.
Yeah, this is one okay. where you must have something in mind, so go for it.
Well, I'm going Owen Wilson for Joe Rexroad because I think it would be hilarious. You know, the hair is great. Joe Rexroad's got great hair. Owen Wilson's got great hair. So we're going to have Owen Wilson. This is the second time, by the way, we brought up Owen Wilson on the show this week, which is kind of incredible. I'm going Owen Wilson to play Joe Rexroad. I'm going Rachel McAdams to play Michelle Knezevic, which is basically like I'm just taking the cast of Wedding Crashers and being like, here you go. Here's what we're going to do Amazing. Here on the show. But those are the two that came to mind. Rachel McAdams, Owen Wilson.
Okay. All right. Well, I go Chris Pratt for you. Okay. I mean, you've been
we do look
right.
Alike.
Haven't people given you the Chris Pratt thing?
Yeah, it makes no sense to me. But two separate people have said that.
Take it, man. You know, take it. How about Bryce Dallas Howard for Michelle? No, I mean you gotta find like a redhead, right?
Yeah,
and she's very very kind
Who?
Person. You don't know Bryce Howard?
I'm just gonna look her up quick.
It's Ron Howard's daughter. Have you ever seen The Village? M. Night Shyamalan movie?
She's
in the Jurassic Park.
Jurassic World.
Got it, yep.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Oh, there you go.
Sometimes I need a face to the name, okay?
And by the way, that's another, both of them are in that movie.
I was about to say, so I have taken the cast of Wedding Crashers and you have taken the cast of Jurassic World. Here you go.
Maybe that's subliminal, like you're thinking in terms of just a specific movie.
Maybe so.
Okay, I'm so excited for mine. I just had to look it up. And this is very fitting because you know how the show is like Robbie and Rexroad, R&R? It's like V squared. So Joe Rexroad is Vince Vaughn.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Immediately I was like, Vince Vaughn. And it's funny because, Robbie, yours was pretty immediate after. You're Vin Diesel. I think it's just because of the baldness. Yeah. I think it was just the first thing I thought of. So, Vince Vaughn and Vin Diesel – V squared.
Vin Diesel. Dang.
So do I need to come in tomorrow with like just this white t-shirt, really tight white t-shirt walking in tomorrow?
Well,
I can do it.
Have you seen The Pacifier, I think the movie's in with all the kids and stuff? I picture when you're a dad someday, Rob, of you just having all your ducks in a line and So there's where that came from and the bald head. You know,
ain't
that
many kids messing around with me and get things done.
Now I feel like I need to pick a bald actor.
Give me some hair.
How about Patrick Stewart?
There you go.
Well, Star Trek.
Hey.
Without X-Men. The goatee.
Yeah, we do a lot of things. All right, back to sports. This is a hypothetical trade situation, so you're going to have to follow along with me here, okay? You can trade two first-round picks, Ryan Tannehill and Caleb Farley, to the Seahawks for Russell Wilson. Or you can trade three first-round picks, Ryan Tannehill and A.J. Brown, to Green Bay for Rodgers and Adams. Which one are you doing? You can maybe have Rodgers for 1 year, 2 years. So which one does? So again, you could trade two first rounders, Ryan Tannehill and Caleb Farley, to the Seahawks for Russell Wilson, or you can trade three first rounders, Tannehill, A.J. Brown, for Rodgers and Adams. Which one are you doing?
To me, that one's pretty easy. I'm doing the Rodgers trade because I think Russell
See
Wilson,
AJ.
Russ, yeah, but bringing in Devontae Adams, yeah,
I know.
I mean, so that defense with Rodgers, Adams, and Derrick Henry, that would be a team that I would. I mean, you're mortgaging the future, of course, and AJ Brown, all that stuff. That's a slam dunk. Russell Wilson is obviously a very good quarterback. I'm a little worried about him moving forward here. He's gotten awfully banged up in Seattle. And as bad as Rodgers was, as you know, against the Niners, he's got good football left in him. He's probably as talented a thrower as we've ever had. All right, what have you got, Michelle?
So my first instinct was Aaron Rodgers, but I've got Junie in my ear right now. Like, no, we got to invest in the future. This is just a short term.
There's no future, Junie. There's no future.
With Rodgers and Devontae Adams, but and he's given me all these like little nuggets as you're saying yours in my ear.
And by the way, the Steelers are going to be awesome next year.
somebody texted me the other day that said Aaron Rodgers going to the Steelers.
Back.
So who knows? We don't.
That's why Junie wants you to trade for Russell Wilson, because the Steelers get Aaron Rodgers.
No,
I'd like you to keep in mind he's not a free agent, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would go with Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams just because, I mean, he can throw them to every play, and it doesn't matter how many guys are on him. Devontae Adams is going to make the play. Aaron Rodgers is insane, and, yeah, we got a good D. I mean, you really just need those two. Got A.J. Brown, too.
Well, no, A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown
would be traded.
But we have Julio.
Who's we?
Are
you a GM now, the Titans?
Sorry.
Are you and Stillman both assistant GM?
I'm definitely not a GM. I'd be very bad at that. Yeah, give me Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams.
Yeah, but A.J. Brown goes out.
I think we know which way I'm going here.
Yeah. You going that way?
Take Rodgers and Adams.
Yeah. But it's a good – I mean, you know, one less pick for Russ. If you really love Russ, you know, that and then you still have A.J. Brown. But, you know, A.J. Brown, too, by the way, I know – we don't have time to get much into this, but like that's still a decision ahead on the huge deal for him. I mean, I think you got to do it, but I'm just saying like.
I don't think there's much hesitation.
Yeah. He's been hurt.
Just
a fair amount.
He's been hurt. He has been. Danny on the text line says, Robbie's about to start saying nothing is stronger than family and beginning to race streetcars after being called Vin Diesel. I could still be around when Fast and Furious movies keep going, so. It'd be Fast and Furious 25.
You should watch one of those.
I haven't seen one of those either.
Never seen a Fast and Furious movie?
No.
Oh, boy. This has been The Choice Is Yours, sponsored by Smokeville Smoke Shop. We do this every Wednesday morning at 7:45. When we come back, we'll be joined by Jared Stillman. We'll get his thoughts on Ryan Tannehill and the Titans quarterback situation as they move forward here. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.